Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to another fantastic episode of My Orgasmic Life. Okay, so the last couple of weeks we did some replays, which was fun because I've been out gallivanting and being super busy. So today we are going to talk about collars, and we're going to talk about cuffs and collars and how important they are for subbies to be able to drop in, but also for the doms to be able to drop in as well in the dungeon. So that's what this episode is going to be about. And I know that I'm pretty sure in the 390 some odd episodes that I've done, I'm pretty sure I've done a cuff and collar episode. So if you've watched that and this is a repeat, I'm sure there'll be some new insights that I didn't think of last time. All right. Okay. So cuffs and collars. So if you're listening to me, you're not going to be able to see. I brought a lot of like different kinds of cuffs and different kinds of collars. And so I would recommend, this would be a really good episode to go find and listen and watch. And you can watch it as a reminder. Where you can watch the videos are on FetLife page, as well as my Loyal Fans page. So my Loyal Fans page is Empress Gaia One, and my FetLife profile is Empress Dash Gaia. Okay, capital E, capital G. Okay. All right. So let's talk about all the different kinds of cuffs and collars. And then we'll talk about the importance of them and how important they are in the dungeon. But then I'm doing a whole series on different ways in which cuffs and collars show up to support one's life. So I'll do a whole other episode on the importance of having a day collar, how to use them. And we'll be doing another episode on how to use your cuffs and collars so that you can use them as a surrender tool, a grounding tool, a calming tool. It's great for those control freaks that need a reminder that all they need to do is surrender and breathe. And so I'll do a whole episode on that. Okay. All right. So collars. So there's different kinds of collars. We categorize them as like play collars, day collars. Okay. So a play collar is something that is quite that you're using when you're playing in the dungeon and you're in a scene. So here's a bunch of different kinds. So we have, this is a pretty one. Here's like a more beefy one. You can use, just a regular dog collar. You can go to favorite pet store. We got, more narrow, but can be washed, which is good for things like water sports or playing in the food play or shower, things that are going to get messy that you don't want to ruin your nice suede or leather collars for. There's metal collars. I don't have any of those. There's chain collars. There's, I'm going to show you. Here's my all these different designs, right? And the key when you're f figuring out, this is my play collar when I'm playing, when I'm a little submissive, when I'm a little subby slut. So when you're figuring out what kind of collar is going to be ideal for you in play, it's like, well, what are you going to be using it for? So, is it a nice little collar that has a little heart on it? Is it, that you're really going to need to lock somebody to something? So you may need to have a lockable. Here's what the lockable latches look like. Is it depending on what people's neck, what kind of activity they're doing? So, for example, I really like this style of collar because it goes around my neck, but it has a little bit of a V. So when I'm like, sucking cock, it's not rubbing or chafing for me. Some people really like the restriction and that they can't move very well much in their neck. And you may, as a your dom may really want that restriction for you. You may really want that restriction. So there's a whole art form in finding the right collar. The perfect collar. It's like shoes, making sure that you got the right shoes for what you want to do. Does it go with the attire? Does it go with the outfit? What terrain are you going to be on? It's the same thing. Colors are the same thing. Okay. And there's like, and the more you, so that's, how do I want to put this? So that's what you're, those were all the collars. And collars are not just for look, but it's also for helping you to drop in. There's some people have different protocols. I really like, I'm not high protocol personality in any aspect of my life. But when I'm in the dungeon as, Empress, I really, there's a whole ritual that I do to help my subbies drop in, but it also helps me drop in. And so we'll get back to that in a second. I want to show you some different cuff options. And then we'll come back to the, why collars? All right. So here I'm going to show you my cuffs. These are my personal cuffs. They're really soft suede. I can wear them for all day long. It doesn't do any chafing. It's like, these are perfect for me. I really love them. Then there's, more durable, cuffs. And the important thing about a cuff is that you always want the cuff to be quite, at least this width. You don't want it to be this And so if you're like listening, you're like, what are those widths? Again, I'm really sorry. This is a really good episode. Go find and watch it. I'll stop doing show and tell in a second. Bear with me. So, let me see what the width is here. Let me do some measuring. I can't tell you off the, I'm not very good without measuring here. Okay. So it's about 2 inches wide. I would say I wouldn't go any less than 1.5 to 2 inches or more. The wider your cuffs are, the better. And the reason for that from a logistical standpoint is so that you're not putting any strain on the wrist joints themselves, especially our wrist cuffs in particular, because especially if you're doing suspension where, there's can be a lot of pressure. You're standing, you're hanging. You want to really make sure that you don't end up having thin cuffs because that will damage your wrists. Just like I don't recommend for bondage on any level whatsoever, handcuffs for that very reason. And in other episodes, I've talked about why I sustained a handcuffing injury without a police, without the police being involved. And so, it's serious. And I know we have the visual of, restraint, and we have that visual of bondage and handcuffs or, a visual that we kind of go hand in hand with BDSM, but there's too many potentials for danger. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Okay. All right. And again, cuffs can be made from silicone, latex, same with co collars, leather, suede, they can be braided, they can be made from many, many different materials. You can have fur, fake fur, lined with fake fur, so the endless possibilities. Okay. So cuffs and collars. So the nice thing about, for me, so we'll get back to, okay, using them in the dungeon. So having me put my clients, my subbies in their cuffs and collars. And then there's a difference between like, here is, this is just, the community cuff and collar. So, the dungeon has silicone ones so that we can reuse and wash for, especially for newbies who don't have their own yet. And so, or really like the feel of those. And that in itself is like getting used to the ritual of surrendering. So there's a, I do a whole beautiful process about, what reminding everybody like what's your safe words as I'm putting on the collar. I have them kneeling, so they're in that position of submission already, their body position. And if they're lucky, I, usually, put their head in between my boobs. While I'm, putting their cu the cuff their collar on. And it just helps. And I will do a thing. Do I have your consent to dominate you today? Do I have your consent to hurt you today? I'll, depending on who the client, who the subbie is, right? So, but it's like, and so what this is doing is two things. One, it's helping the subbie really drop in to turn off their brain, to stop thinking about the rest of the world, that their only responsibility is to listen, to surrender, to let go, to trust. And then, we continue that with, their wrists, and we continue that with their ankles. And each stage, there's this like next level of like dropping in, dropping in, dropping in. And when I want to define what is dropping in. So there's this beautiful place called subspace. Ah. And for most people, subspace is like the equivalent, is the same as a meditative state. It's where everything gets quiet, the brain turns off, you're just completely in the moment. For others, it can be going to like almost walking into the void. So, like when I go into subspace with Master, for me, I walk into the void, like I'm going into the void and everything is still and everything is quiet, which very rarely happens unless I'm consciously meditating. So, it's an important place for my mental health and well-being. And it's this Zen state. And so we can reach this Zen state in many different forms, right? We can do extreme exercise, we can do meditation, we can do yoga, we can come to the dungeon. There's lots of different ways. But the ultimate is about dropping in and getting to that place where there's just this absolute surrender. And then there's the power exchange component where it's the not only do I absolutely surrender to this moment in time, but I also absolutely surrender to whatever's been pre-negotiated. This is important. Whatever's been pre-negotiated between the dom and the sub that is going to, that you're going to do. And there's different ways that that happens. There's consensual non-consent. There's negotiating before so that you can just drop into those places. There's, negotiating on the day of before a scene. Like there's lots of different ways that that happens. But once the negotiation is, it's like, again, now it's like, as I put that as the dom, as I put that collar on, I'm claiming that subby is mine. Like I licked it. Ah. Mine. And the subby's like, yes, please. Take me, own me, use me, have me. I'm yours. And there's this beautiful, like, in that contained space and that negotiated space, there's that beautiful exchange of power, which is just delicious for everybody. And as the dom, it's just as important for me as the dom to dropping into that space of that agreement. That agreement. The agreement is that my subby is mine. And in that, the contract that I've signed, whether physically, like verbally or in writing, it might be a physical contract, is that I promise to take care of their emotional, physical, mental well-being. And they're agreeing to do whatever they're told to do and follow whatever I want them to do and be and just be. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to analyze it. They don't have to question it. It's just this beautiful, beautiful exchange. And that happens while the cuffs and collars are on. This is why I really, really, really reinforce for people who are not, are, playing, not just, there might be in their relationship dynamics and they're not just, coming to go see their empress and then leaving and going about their lives, but like, especially in relationship dynamics, that you want to make sure that there's a beginning and an end and everybody knows what the rules are. So, well, I have my subby cuffed and collar. We have an arrangement. And in that arrangement, they do what they're told. And I promise to take care of them in their best interest. When the cuffs and collars come off, is just as much of an important ritual as helping them get grounded, helping them to come back into their body, helping them be present, and then helping them to get ready to be able to function out in the world. It's when you give up. All you basically, your brain has a nap, which is ultimately awesome, but then we have to turn your, we have to reboot you again and turn your brain back on. So, which means that, the subby needs to start problem solving and taking care of themselves and functioning. Okay. So, as I take off the cuffs and collars, it's just as much of a ritual as when I put them on. And when I'm taking them off, I'm like, touching their bodies and getting, circulation, and I'm checking, make sure their body's, doing well. But I'm also like helping them get re-grounded and get back into their body. And I will start, then I usually then start to ask questions, and they're allowed to answer those questions without having to be in submissive space. And that will help to get their brain functioning and, ready to go and function in the world. It also helps to eliminate some of that sub drop that can happen later on, because I didn't just rip them and then rip their cuffs and collars out and then kick them out the door. It's like an integration period. So as I take the cuffs and collars off, I'm integrating them back into the here and now and back into the present, back into their body, back into the world, back into their, lives, asking them questions, engaging, doing whatever aftercare they may need, doing a debrief. Some subbies really need to talk through the experience, and it helps them to activate their brain so that they're, able to drive. Basically. And others are like, I don't really want to talk about it. I just want you to hug me. And I'm just going to get slowly back into my body. So each subby is different in what they need. But once the cuffs and collars come off, the protocol of what that looks like for me changes. They get to be them. And there's some fundamental power exchange stuff because of the relationship of our the dynamics of our relationship, and we've established what these are. And they get to be a little more cheeky and bratty and all those kind of things. Because for me in the dungeon, that's not really a good life choice. Doesn't say it doesn't happen, but it's not one I recommend. But that's the dynamic that I have with my subbies. Me as a subby, I'm very much a brat, and my master, or like I like to call him my overlord, he's very tolerant and really doesn't give shit about any of those things. So, he's like, "Oh, that's cute," and then when he's had enough of that, he just grabs my throat. And I'm like, "All right. You're in charge." So there's different dynamics. People have different dynamics, and not one is right and one is wrong. It's just important to know what those dynamics are. All right. So for me, having my cuff and collar on, when I have my cuff and collar on, even though I'm a little bit of a brat, actually, I'm a big brat, and who's kidding? I'm a big brat. There's a certain level of being a brat that I'm allowed to get away with. And then there's, which is different than me being empress, large and in charge, taking care of the household, doing things. And if I'm in that space and I don't have my cuff and collar on, and my overlord were to, expect complete discipline, then we would have a problem. Because that's doesn't work for, because like I said, I spend a lot of time conquering the world. I'm large and in charge a lot, and the world needs me to be, and all my subbies need me to be. So for me, knowing, and also my other subbies that have different relationship dynamics too, it's like, oh, right, I have my cuffs and collar on. This is what's expected of me. I can reach that expectation. I can fulfill that expectation. I can get it right. I can get my rewards. I can get my good girl, my good boy, my good sissy, good whatever. I know how to be. So I and if you're in a relationship where you have power dynamics that, especially sexual power dynamics, where people are switches. Which means that they go either they can be dominant or submissive. Then it's very important to make sure that you have cuffs and collars as part of that process so that everybody knows what the roles are, who's being in charge of what right now. Right. And that prevents a lot of just miscommunication, lots of fights, conflict. All those things. Okay. So, yeah. So I highly recommend. Then there is, okay. So we talked about, okay, there's the specialness. So now we have the level of how special your collar is, how deep intimacy that's connected to that collar, is an important level of stuff. So I talked about having the dungeon has its, its dungeon collar. and cuffs that are silicone and are used for newbies until they have their own cuffs and collar. But then when a subbie, for me, a subbie becomes committed to the relationship dynamic of power, the power dynamic and the relationship dynamic, and what and it needs, and that they're going to see me on a regular basis and things like that, then it's important for them to have their own, that they're special. Those are the their own special cuffs and collar. And there's this beautiful, like, they're theirs. No one else has used them. No one else has had them on. They're just for them. And in that, there's another layer of dropping into this beautiful place of submission and surrendering, because they're like special, right? It's like the difference between renting bowling shoes and having your own bowling shoes. Your own bowling shoes means that you're serious. Not to mention that no one else's feet have been in there. Okay. And then the third level is of like deep level of connection and intimacy, I would say, is when the Dom presents a subbie with their cuffs and collar. So for certain subbies that have been lifestyle subbies in the past for me, or that I have a really deep relationship with, I may go get them a special collar. It might be customized. I might get their name put on it. And then when I collar them with it, it's like there's this next level of, I'm owning you. I'm responsible for you. You're mine. And on another layer, level of that, of you're mine on a deeper level. And there's something really, really powerful about that. So for people who are in, looking at having, lifestyle, which means you're living it in your day-to-day life, and you're not necessarily, it's usually basically you're not hiring somebody, it's not a professional relationship. That's the lifestyle. And then there's 24-hour 24/7, and I just put a replay of the different kinds of kink relationships you can have, so go listen to that replay. Okay, and it'll talk all about those different dynamics and what they all are. So it's very beautiful, and it can be as deeply a deep, it can be as deep of a commitment as marriage can be. Depends on the dynamics and the relationship and the people. So there's a lot to go on just from something that you put on your co your neck. Okay. Let's see. I think that's all the things about in the dungeon and the importance of cuffs and collar. I mean, obviously cuffs are more about bondage than necessarily power dynamics, where the collar tends to be more about I'm surrendering, I'm letting go. It's like a reminder. Yes, there can be, putting a leash on, clipping a leash on it, or some bondage or different things for restriction, but it's more about the level of emotional and psychological surrender, where cuffs are more about typically the bondage, the sensation. Again, it helps you drop in, but it's also the dropping in with the physical feeling of restriction. It's like, yes, I surrender and I can't move. Because now I can clip you and unclip you to in all different positions, and all different, whether it's rope or chain or however I want to restrain you. They're easy to clip and unclip. And I recommend, from a bondage standpoint, using cuffs and collars, because you can clip and unclip somebody if you need to in emergency quite quickly. And it can be also easy to undo them and like just take the re release them from whatever bondage or circumstances that they happen to be in. And it's going to, it's safer. It's the best way to put it. I find it, it's easier and safer than necessarily creating a rope bondage for the wrists and ankles, unless you're doing, unless you're doing Japanese rope bondage, which is that there's a whole purpose to that. I really recommend the cuffs and co the cuffs. Yes. All right. Okay. I think that's it. So if you're like, oh, that sounds so delicious, I want to come turn off my brain, and surrender, you can reach me at empressgaia.com. And if you're needing help in your relationship on how to like navigate this and introduce this and negotiate and reach out to me. I love working with couples and guiding couples through this process so that everybody has a good, both physically, emotionally, sexual experience. It's a beautiful experience instead of a traumatic experience that needs therapy afterwards. Okay. And as always, I'd love to hear your feedback, your comments. If there's topics, like I said, I'm getting close to the 400 mark here of episodes. So, I could really use some new topics. If anybody's in has some topics that they want me to cover, that would be great. Love the feedback, love the new topics. And until next time, stay curious, ask lots of questions, and enjoy your cuffs and collar shopping. Some of my highlight favorites, actually, I'll give you a couple of resources here. So you can buy cuffs and collars pretty much. You type in cuffs and collars and BDSM into the Google search, and you are going to come up with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places to go shopping. Etsy is a great place. But for me personally, I would say my favorite cuffs from, I have a place in Stratford called Sinvations. Sinvations is fantastic. They make custom cuffs and collars. Their work is by far, I've gone to many venues, I've had lots of different options. By far, they are the best in Canada, hands down, for their leather work. Hands down. So if you are really looking at investing, because good quality leather cuffs are quite expensive, can be quite expensive. And there's nothing worse than getting, leather cuffs and them being crap. And you paid a lot of money for them. And they aren't, no one will fix them if they break and all those things. So hands down. So this is for everybody who's watching, this is a Simvation cuff and collar. They have lots of different kinds and styles, but every single this one is like nice soft leather. There's different styles, but by far. And the other thing I really love about Simvations is if anything goes wrong with your cuffs or collars, they'll fix them. Right? You bring them back clean, that's important. But they'll repair them and they'll fix them. So it's not like you're buying this once and then it goes to, when you go to the Stag shop, for example, and you buy your cuffs and collar, it's crap. And when it breaks, and that's it. So there might be, they may be a little more expensive up front, but you're going to have them for the duration of your lifetime. like the I don't even know what kind of activity you would have to do to destroy them. And because the workmanship and the quality is so good, yeah. So this is my unsolicited shout out to Simvations in Stratford, Ontario. I just adore them and love them. And their work is by hand. Yeah. And I know that they do ship all over the world. So if you're not in Canada, you can look into them. So yeah. Okay. Till next time. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. Just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur, so I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.